In March, some 500 women gathered on Temple Square in Salt Lake City to make a point. They asked to be admitted to a session of the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which was only open to men. They expected their requests to be declined because only those admitted to the priesthood can attend in the LDS Church. That means only men. Now local leaders have told the founder of the Ordained Women Movement, Kate Kelly, that they are considering disfellowshipment or excommunication. Kate Kelly joins us now. Kate, welcome to KNPR.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So what if local LDS leaders told you about why they are considering these steps, which I gather are some of the most extreme steps that they could take?
So I received a letter on May 22nd from my stake president, which is a higher regional leader. And in it, he said that I was to take down the website ordainedwomen.org, disassociate myself from the group Ordained Women, which I founded. Otherwise, I would be punished. This letter came after I had already moved out of his congregation. I'm now living in Utah, and that was in Virginia. So a few weeks later, I got another letter by email from my bishop, who's the leader of my local congregation, and he said in it that they were convening a disciplinary council on my behalf. This came as a total shock to me because I had already left. I had already moved. I was no longer physically present in the place where they were convening this disciplinary council.
Can they excommunicate you if you're not a part of that stake?
My local leaders have kept my records. They placed what's called a move restriction on my records. So I'm actually not able to transfer them to any new congregation. They've kept hold of them.
Did they explain why they are threatening you with these things? What offenses you have committed that would bring it to this point?
In the letter from my former bishop, it says that I'm being charged with apostasy, but it doesn't give a definition of apostasy and it doesn't give the reasons why. So apparently apostasy is speaking your mind and telling the truth about gender inequality in the church. Mm. And if that's the case, then yes, I am guilty of apostasy, but so is every other person who speaks out on these issues, and so is every other person who's ever had a question or a concern and has actually spoken that question out loud.
A spokesman for the LDS Church told the New York Times that admitting women to the priesthood would require, in his words, radically redefining how Jesus structured his church. Do you see it as a radical redefinition?
Well, Jesus didn't ordain anyone who wasn't a Jew. Jesus didn't ordain 12-year-old boys. Jesus didn't ordain black men. And all of those things are taking place now in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So the priesthood has expanded over time. And I see this as a further expansion. We're asking that the prophet, who's the leader of our church, seek guidance prayerfully on this issue. In addition, Mormonism does not have a closed canon. That's one of the most beautiful aspects of Mormonism. You know, God, we believe in one of our articles of faith that God will yet reveal many great and important things. That's the entire point of having a living prophet. So just like Moses or Adam or any prophet of the Old or New Testament, the prophet today can reveal things on behalf of his flock.
Well, given the things that you've just said about the ongoing process of revelations and such, do you agree with what the spokesman told the New York Times, that this is a radical redefinition?
I don't think it would be a redefinition. I think it would be a further expansion. In 1978, in our church, the priesthood was extended to black men. Previously, they were not able to hold the priesthood, and black women were not able to attend the temple. And so things can change. The church can become a more inclusive place, and there's very, very clear precedent for that.
But clearly, the leadership of the church does take it to be a fundamental change and a radical one. Why do they see it that way?
Well, I'd like to point out, first of all, that a member of the PR department of the church is not a leader of the church. Jesus didn't have a PR department.
That's fair enough, Kate, but clearly that spokesman speaks for the leadership of the church. Surely that spokesman would not have said anything like that without the leadership's okay.
I mean, honestly, I'm not sure where all of the different things that they've said are coming from. I don't know why the leaders of the church, if they're going to speak on a particular issue, don't sign the letter themselves. I'm sure they're perfectly capable of it. So for me, there isn't a consensus. In fact, Elder Neil A. Anderson, who is a leader in our church, said in one of the general conferences that we don't know why women don't have the priesthood. And following that up, Elder Oaks, who's in the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, said that in their leadership capacities in the church, women do exercise the priesthood. So there have been a lot of positive statements about women in the priesthood from leaders of the church. No one has said that women are going to be ordained, but no one has said that they absolutely won't be in the future.
So it sounds like within the leadership, there is some support anyway for your position, and yet they're charging you with apostasy.
I certainly hope there is. And even if there's not support for my position, I think there should be support for asking legitimate questions. It's important to remember that it's not just one person with a question. It's hundreds and thousands of people who have these types of questions. And we need to create an environment within the church where people can ask sincere, honest questions without being punished.
Last month, you were told you were on informal probation, which meant you could not take the sacrament and had to take a totally passive role in church services. How did you feel when that happened?
I was completely shocked when I received that letter. I've always been a faithful, active Mormon woman. I served a mission for the church. I got married in the temple. And I've always been extremely committed to the gospel. And so something like that is just a very personal and very extreme blow.
So what did you do when you couldn't take the sacrament?
You know, for Mormon people, the ordinances that we take every week, particularly the sacrament, is one of renewal, is one of hope. So not being able to do that is, for me, very personally devastating.
You mentioned that you have a different place where you are practicing your faith. Are you welcome there?
I've recently relocated to Utah, where my parents live, in Provo, Utah, and I'm able to attend church, but I'm not able to participate. So I'm not able to receive a calling in my new ward. I'm not able to do anything because my records have been forcibly held in my previous congregation.
The letters from church leaders always insist that they are doing this out of love for you. Do you believe them?
Honestly, I think that they are acting out of love. I think in some ways, you know, we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this. I don't think what they're doing is right. I don't think it's what Jesus would have done, but I don't think that they're acting maliciously. I love my bishop. My bishop and my old ward and I were friends. You know, on my last Sunday, I gave him a hug. He said, you know, really wonderful having you and good luck in your journey. So this is coming well after we had a very good relationship for a very long time. And that's part of the reason it's so devastating.
We are talking with Kate Kelly. She is facing a disciplinary hearing later this month for advocating the ordination of women to the priesthood in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. She's also the founder of a movement of LDS members pushing the church to admit women to the priesthood called Ordain Women. Even with 500 members in Temple Square last March, this seems hardly a mass movement. When we interviewed a representative of Ordain Women about that demonstration, we got some very negative comments from Mormon women who said you were trying to wreck the church or make yourselves martyrs so you could get more publicity. Why haven't you received support from as many women as I would imagine you would have hoped for?
Honestly, in the Mormon church, the women have been so socialized to associate priesthood with maleness that sometimes when you ask a woman, do you want the priesthood? It feels to her like you're saying, do you want to be a man? It's very ingrained. And so part of the work of Ordained Women has been helping women separate priesthood from gender and understand that it's the power of God. It doesn't mean that you want to be a man. It doesn't mean that you even want to be the same as a man. It just means that you want to have equal access to opportunities and leadership.
Your bishop told you that you could hold your views privately, but you had to work them out with church leaders. In saying that, what did he mean? What was he telling you?
I think that's when my bishop told me that I could have an idea or a thought in my head, but that I couldn't speak it out loud. I think that really highlights what the issue is here. The issue isn't that I think women should be ordained. The issue is that I opened my mouth and I told other people and I spoke out.
Clearly, you disagree with your bishop on this.
When I met with them, I told them that what they're asking me to do is live inauthentically. What they're asking me to do is show up at church every Sunday and walk in and sit down, but never tell what I really think and never say how I really feel. And it's impossible for me personally to live a life as inauthentic as that. And I think church should be a place for questions. You know, in a church and a tradition that started with a 14-year-old boy, Joseph Smith, asking a question, I think it should be open and honest, and there should be a place for this type of dialogue.
The LDS Church only recently approved of young women being missionaries, and a big percentage of college-age women have jumped at that chance. Are those women likely to think they should also be admitted to the priesthood?
I think it's important to keep in mind that women have been able to serve missions, but the age changed recently. I served a mission years ago, but recently it's changed from age 21 to age 19. So a lot more women are going because they can go, you know, very early on in college or right after they graduate from high school. And I think so many more women going on missions, so many more women serving in this capacity will really expand the number of women who see the stark contrast between how men are treated and women are treated. When I served my mission in Barcelona, Spain, I was able to do all of the delegated duties. I was able to preach. I was able to go out and contact people. I was able to teach them about Mormonism. But when it came to the time where they would be baptized, I was not able to perform the ordinance of baptism. I was not able to serve in any type of leadership capacity whatsoever, even though I was equally capable, more so in my own estimation, than some of the young men who were serving alongside me.
You had mentioned that you're going to church now in Provo, the church that your parents are members of. Have you encountered any parishioners who have told you that they disagree with your stand on this issue?
Absolutely. There's people on all sides of this spectrum and on every point on the continuum.
When they look at you, what do they say?
I think, you know, it depends on the person, but mostly Mormons are very kind, friendly, loving people. That's something we're really known for. So the people that I know and interact with interpersonally usually give me a hug and say that they love me, but say that they disagree and they give their reasons. That's the kind of dialogue that I'm really after. I don't think everyone should agree with me. I don't think everyone has to, but I do think that we should be able to talk about it.
If the disciplinary hearing leads to excommunication, excommunication cuts you out of the rights required for salvation. Are you worried about being excluded in that way? Worried that you might suffer consequences beyond this world for the stand you're taking?
Excommunication I've described as a type of spiritual death. I think that the point of excommunication is to make you no longer a member of the church, so none of your ordinances are valid, including baptism, including internal marriage, including all of these things that I value and cherish. And so for me, it is just an extreme blow.
So if you are excommunicated, do you worry about your salvation?
If I'm excommunicated, I don't think that the Lord will view that as excluding me. I think I won't be able to participate here on earth, but I know what I'm doing is right. I have had a confirmation of the Spirit that that I should be able to ask open, honest questions. And so I don't think that I would be excluded from eternal salvation for telling the truth or for being myself.
Long, long ago, one of the most famous remarks by Martin Luther when he stood against the Roman Church was, "Here I stand, I can do no other." Do you feel that way at times?
I feel like what I'm doing is telling the truth and being authentic. I don't think that there's any other path for me. I don't think there's any other way where I can live. When I was taught as a young woman in the church that I was to live with integrity and that I was to do good works. And I feel like what I'm doing now is a combination and a culmination of what I learned as a young Mormon woman.
Kate Kelly is the founder of Ordained Women, a movement of LDS members pushing the church to admit women to the priesthood, which is currently reserved for male members of the church. Later this month, she faces a disciplinary hearing for advocating the ordination of women to the priesthood. Kate Kelly, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.